Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free today in the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know, but after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, tucking the Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener shares her story of being an employee at a haunted location and the spirit they believe that followed them home with ill intentions. That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the program, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call it. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, new ones every single week. You get advanced episodes of the show, access to our ebook and our audiobook, all of that when you sign up. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get 1 month free when you do an annual membership on either platform as well. We do appreciate that. That's what helps keep us on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got an injury this week. I can't compare it to your broken ribs because I know that's far worse, but I got something.
Yeah.
I got something new and exciting. Okay. I got to drill through my finger last night, and that was exciting.
Well, you did that part on purpose.
I know. It just sounds horrible when you say it. And I accidentally slammed my one of my fingernails, top of my finger, into a door yesterday, which was a lot of fun and very painful. And then, like, you get the blood underneath your fingernail, and it's kind of gross. And I didn't know you could actually do anything about that.
Yeah.
But then you guys started informing me, like, oh, no, like, there's ways to get that out. If the pressure is bad, then I Googled it, too, and read about, like, how you do it. And there was a lot of tactics where you use, like, a paper clip, and then you heat it up and try and burn through the nail. Mm-hmm. I tried that. That didn't seem, I don't know if I have like super thick fingernails or
you,
what.
I think you do. You drilled for a while before you finally hit blood.
And then I drilled. And I don't recommend doing this. This is not an endorsement of doing such a thing, but sanitized.
This is not medical advice.
No. But I did take the smallest drill bit I had, and I had to drill a little bit, and I got through, and then all of a sudden it was a blood explosion. But the pressure's relieved off the nail, and now It just looks horrible. So.
Yeah.
But there you go. That was exciting.
There you go.
It was, I've always wanted to use a drill when going into my body.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, hello, I'm a new listener. I love all things supernatural and personal, mostly because of my childhood and upbringing. I grew up Wiccan and always have been sensitive to spirits. Growing up in Massachusetts has certainly given me enough stories to fill several books, but I have one I want to share. Back in the early 2000s, I worked at the House of Seven Gables in Salem, Massachusetts. I love the house and love the job. Yes, there are ghosts, lots of them, but most of them are harmless. There's a few pranksters, too. I ran into one that left me running for my life. While working in the museum's cafe, I was washing aprons and dish towels in the basement of the main house. This was my second year working there, so I'd done this plenty of times. I'd never felt anything or saw anything in the basement, so I did not mind doing this. On this laundry run, I felt funky the moment I walked in. Something was just off. I did not feel like I was alone. Someone was watching me. I looked around and did not see anyone. Chalking it up to a random anxiety attack, I just took a deep breath and finished getting the laundry started. I went back down to the basement to move the laundry to the dryer. My feeling was stronger, and I felt that whoever was watching me did not want me there. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone walking very quickly towards me. When I looked up, I saw a man in colonial-era clothing. I did not see any facial features because I was watching his hands, which were reaching towards my neck. I stepped back and blinked, and he was gone. But that anger lingered. I ran up the stairs and out into the courtyard like my hair was on fire, straight into one of our maintenance men. He had known me well enough to know that I do not scare easily, and I was shaking. He asked me what was wrong. I told him and asked him to go with me so I could finish moving the laundry over. He told me he'd do it for me and bring everything up when I was done. I did not freak out and quit. I stayed, as I said, loved working there. I miss it and would go back in a heartbeat. However, I refused to go back into that basement. Luckily, I did not have any fear. Luckily, I did not have to after that. My buddy took care of the laundry for me after that moment. I have more stories from that house. My 35 years living in Massachusetts. If you want more, I'd love to share more. Keep up the great work.
It sounds like Boogity was in her basement.
It does.
A colonial man.
Yeah. That was Mr. Boogity, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was an old colonial type figure. House of Seven Gables is an interesting place. Have you heard of it, right?
I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I read a book recently called Ghostland. In fact, I had the author of it on the other show, The Grave Talks, talking about it, and that will be airing sometime soon. I don't have the exact date on me, but House of Seven Gables is one of those places where there's a lot of lore and mystery to it, and there's a lot of just kind of like false history, you know, that attaches itself to it. And when you look at the facts of the building and some of the story and what is out there in popular culture, it does not line up with history. But and I'm not dismissing that there's paranormal activity there. It's just it may not be always what we think it is. In fact, the house actually, when they from what I remember reading about, at one time, it had far more than seven gables. And there was a lot. I don't remember all the details, but it's just one of those where there's so many things that these famous buildings have like that. The Winchester Mansion, you name it. When they're super famous and they're, you know, big tourist attractions and things like that. Quite often, the lore is not exactly what history lines it up to be if you do a little digging. But I do believe that when you have places like that, just the sheer interest in them and all the energy of people coming and going and looking for ghosts and things of that nature, I think that can sometimes create a haunting in itself or amp up whatever may be there.
Just the looking for the ghosts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think sometimes, you know, just that willingness to find that, maybe you'll find spirits that are nearby that are, oh, hey, look at this. Look at all this energy that's being pushed in this direction of trying to find us. And if you want to be found, that's the place to go. Mm-hmm. And then people then see or experience things and then they attach it to the lore incorrectly, but that's all they're going on.
Right.
But I think that happens quite frequently. It's an interesting place, a place I would like to know more about in its history. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, the time when I was young in elementary school, I attended from second grade all the way through fifth grade. There were these really creepy old houses, two of them right in front of the school. And when I got picked up, I could swear I saw a shadowy figure that looked like a person that was hanging. It's before I ever started wearing glasses, and the experience still creeps me out. Later, they demolished the old house. Every time I'd go to school and ask around to the staff and some of my friends and classmates, they'd say it was haunted and it was abandoned and they had boarded it up and the gate in front of them. Used to always wonder what happened in those houses. The staff would just kind of brush it off and some would say it's haunted. My friends would say it's haunted and people would say the elementary school was also haunted that was nearby. I'd always just brush it off as legends. They would say the library was also haunted by the former librarian who had passed away. The students would say she haunts it. In the middle school I attended also seemed to be haunted, and the stories would continue. She'd be in the stairway that was locked up with a gate and a padlock, and students and staff would ask and say it was haunted. Some would just say it led to the fourth floor. Another story of the staff that they told me was that they had a event, teacher staff members, and said that some of the teachers walked around the second and third floor and they got really spooked and they heard the elevator sound that the elevator makes. They got so scared they ran away and back to the library. I've been listening for years. Keep up the good work. Listening again every night to another story of the podcast. I really love the program. Back to our conversation in just a moment. But first, have you checked out Best Fiends? I'm loving all the Halloween theming going on there. That's one of my favorite parts of this month. It's just the fact that, you know, everybody really gets into it. And it's a big treat there on Best Fiends. It's the mobile puzzle game that you can download for yourself for free. Everybody is loving this thing. I have been loving it for a long time. You can check out the spooky levels, outfits, challenges that Best Fiend puts out all month of October. Just one more reason to enjoy Best Fiends during the spooky season. I love it because it's I've always called it the mental palate cleanser. When I'm just kind of really busy, but I need a moment for myself, a little bit of time just to kind of recharge the batteries, but still challenge myself a bit because my brain always feels like it needs to be going. That's where I pick up Best Fiends. I absolutely love it. You will too. Best Fiends is the infamously impossible to put down puzzle game that's free to download. Over 100 million downloads. A 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. More levels, events, and challenges. And get added all the time so you can play away. There's always one more level. Seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom ain't got a chance. If you like a good challenge, and we all do, Best Fiends got over 5,000 of them. More levels, events, and challenges added all the time, which means you don't have to choose between binging and boredom. In fact, you might find yourself wondering how you ever found time for a dull moment before playing Best Fiends. Check it out for yourself today. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
So, haunted schools. I love haunted school stories. And your school is really old that you went to.
My high school?
Yeah. Do you think it was haunted?
Probably.
It was limestone.
It was limestone. I never had any experiences there to back it up. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, you know what? I don't recall kids, you know, having ghost stories about the place or really talking about it in those terms. And I mean, right down the road from it was a place called the Octagon House. I mean, there were ghost stories in that town that people would talk about. So it wasn't like an area where it's like, ooh, hush, hush. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, when I was there, I, you know, if anyone would have picked up on hearing those stories, it would have been me.
Right.
But I don't recall anyone ever really talking about it. I mean, my grandparents went to that school. It was built in the early 1900s. And there was, what was interesting about that building and the part that they had torn down after I graduated, because there's another half of the building that still exists and is now an elementary school. That part was built in the 70s. The 1900 portion is gone. But that portion, it looked like almost like a prison, all limestone. There were on the top of the building, what do you call it, where you have the little places where essentially you could put weaponry and shoot off.
Like a turret?
A turret, yeah. There was turrets all along the top of this building.
Huh.
And that's what kind of made it prison-like, because you're like, well, if you're on the roof, you really have cover to... It was weird. But it was turrets all around. And then the center of the building, there was staircases that went all the way up to the third floor. And there was a fourth floor in the top of this tower, like the very center part of the building was the staircase, but the fourth floor just extended above the third floor, and it was just like one room. Mm-hmm. And I never went to that room. Like, no one ever went to that room. I don't know what the room was even used for, but it was just this tall, kind of standing on top, almost tower-like room that was just there. Very interesting design, I guess, for a school building, but When you look back on architecture of that day, you know, the institutions and things of that nature, it's in line with those sort of structures.
Was it built for being a school, or was it built for being an institution and then they later made it into a school?
It was, in fact, built for being a school.
Okay.
I don't know if they just you know, used architecture and builders of that day that, you know, like, hey, that institution you built over there looked pretty good. There's a lot of rooms. Can we do something similar over here?
Sure.
You know, and there's like, yeah, why not? I mean, because we're talking totally different construction methods and everything and all of that. But yeah, I mean, it also had its own giant chimney like you'd almost see in a factory. Giant, you know, tubular, towering chimney.
For the radiator.
Yeah, for the radiator. And I don't believe they used that in its later years. I think they had more modern heating going on, but it still stood. I mean, there was a room where it would have been, you know, probably coal and everything that was in there and used. So all of the elements of its history still stood till the very end and were just kind of interesting to look at as these old relics of this building that you're going in and out of. And, you know, modern day at that time, it was 2001 is when it was torn down. And that was the last year that that we were there. But, you know, you see these things from 100 years ago and they're just there. It makes you wonder, you know.
Yeah.
Who else may be there and what those stories would be. But there were certainly a lot of elements of the building that I'm sure were original that you could still see to that day. I don't think there was a ton of changing of the interior of that portion anyway. Yours was pretty normal, more
Mine
modern.
Mine was built in 1980. Yeah. So it was very much the inside really reminded me a lot of like Breakfast Club and the school from Ferris Bueller, things like that. They had updated it, but it was more, you know, almost had a retro feel in that retro being like the 80s, you know, like an 80s teen movie. Kind of thing.
Sure. And that is certainly a retro feel. I don't know. What would you call mine? That's not even, that's retro, but
yours was like gothic.
Gothic.
Yeah.
It's ancient feel is what that had. And then the other portions of the school, those updates were 60s, 70s type era. And so those felt retro.
Yeah.
Those portions, there's a lot of ramps and, you know, some of the oranges and those sort of colors and stuff on the wall. I'd be really curious to go back in there today and see what it looks like now of the portion that's still standing. Because there's a good half of the school is still there, the more modern quote unquote portion, which is now 50 years old. But the school after I had left, there was a flood in that town and it ended up going in and it covered the gym floor. And I saw pictures of all the boards just all warped and they had to completely replace it. There was an aquatic center that also got flooded with river water and they had to drain all that and all that. I don't know, you know, why you'd put these things right next to a river. But hey, it's Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Good decision making. So it's, I'd just be interested to see what it looks like today, how much it resembles, what I recalled from high school.
Sure.
Is yours still,
they tore it down this summer because they built the new one right behind it. And so now mine's parking lot.
It's interesting how we sat for so long with these old structures and they used them for literally 100 years.
Years. Yeah.
And now buildings that are, you know, 40, 50 years old, you're like, done, nope, move on. Because I've actually been in your, well, what was the high school?
Yeah.
When we lived in that area, because even before I met you, I think I did like a career day there.
Right.
Where I went and talked to the students about why not to get into radio. I think I was supposed to be pro radio.
But you were supposed to be, but you know, you put your own spin on it.
I had to be too, like, real. And, but I remember going in it and going, oh, this is, to me, it felt like a modern high school compared to what I had.
Well, sure.
And I was like, oh, this is great. That's why I was so surprised when this summer you told me they were tearing down your high school. I'm like, really?
Well, they'd outgrown it. The thing was that suburb has just exploded with people. So they had added on and added on to that building so many times since they originally built it that it was just time to start over.
Yeah.
And they'd already split the district and built a new high school down the road.
Oh, wow.
So this is, you know, when I went there, there was one high school and it was that building that you went in.
Sure.
And then now there are two huge high schools there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's did you ever have it? I mean, I know yours wasn't super old when you went there, but any It doesn't not be, we all know buildings don't necessarily have to be super old to be haunted.
Right.
Did you ever have anything, any stories, any vibes, any?
Only if I had to be up there for some nerd group that I belong to on a Saturday. And then, you know, they do the half lights, you know, half the lights are on, half the lights are off, you know, like saving power. And you're walking down the halls and they're like half lit. And it just kind of gave kind of a creepy vibe. But I never really felt anything like it was haunted. Like there weren't any parts of the school that I didn't want to go into.
No janitors.
He didn't pass away till after I graduated.
Okay.
But he was there from the 50s and he wore his hair in that, was that ducktail style?
Oh, I think there was like a requirement of janitors from 1978 to 1998.
Okay.
If you were a janitor, you had to wear your hair in that style.
Well, he wore it when it was popular. And, you know, I remember even though we were a zero tolerance school, he'd have his sleeves rolled up like in the 50s with the cigarette pack in the side.
Yeah.
You know, and here he is. He's pushing 70. Yeah. And all I remember is he'd go around and he'd get mad at us and he'd just always utter damn kids all the time. We loved him. He was great.
Yeah. That's funny. It would be interesting to hear, you know, it's a parking lot now, but if anyone around there is ever like walking around that parking lot on a foggy night or something, and then you're like just going to your car and it's quiet and you hear, damn kids, you know, just kind of off in the distance. What the hell?
Yeah.
Because I know, I believe hauntings sometimes, if it's a location, even if the building's gone, if there's something there, it can still exist in that same spot. But who knows?
He got fired because he got into it with a kid because the kid was being a little shit and he called the kid a little effer.
And he stood up to the kid.
He stood up to the kid, and the principal didn't really like the custodian, so he got fired, and he didn't live very long after that.
That's sad.
Yeah. That had been his whole career.
Mm-hmm. That's a shame. It's always interesting with schools and the lighting and how much those things can change the atmosphere of a building.
Mm-hmm.
And how it can go from this bustling place of learning and academics to suddenly too quiet. I think any school almost is weird when it's empty with the lights on. But then you go to that half dim feature and it's like, ooh. We're in the Walking Dead territory.
Right.
And it's just a totally different atmosphere. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I love the show. Your show is awesome. I listen to it a lot. I call in a lot, actually. I called in once a few months ago, maybe. I'm not sure how long ago. Time flies when I'm off because of coronavirus. I haven't been to school since March and I'm like just at home looking for ghosts. But anyways, I have a very scary ghost story. This one I'm sure is a ghost. Like, I wasn't sure at first, is it a person or is it a ghost? But like now that I've thought about it, it is a ghost. Like, I'll explain why in a minute. You might be wondering like, why am I debating that? But like, I'll just like explain the situation and then you'll probably understand why I might have thought it was a person. Because it looks so real, and it wasn't like I saw it for a split second. I saw it for like more than a split second. I was looking right at it and it was crazy. But anyways, I'll set the scene. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I was driving home. Well, I am old enough now to drive, but I wasn't back then. So, my parents were driving home from the beach. I had went there for the day with a friend, and we were driving home through this city called Stratford. It's located in Ontario, pretty famous theater town, actually. So people who are into theater go there. It's a pretty nice city. And we were driving home and down the main street. So we were like on the main street of Stratford, and off the main street, just outside of the downtown, there's this street that like jets off the main street. So there's like a lot of streets that connect to the main street, but then there's this one with a church right on the corner, and then as you go down the street there is a like an archives place, not a library, but like a place where you can go and like see archives of like people that lived like 100 years ago or something. I'm not exactly sure what they do there, but I know it's something like that, and it's like an archive place. And then at the very end of the street there's a school. So I'm sure there's like other stuff in the area too, but like that's just what I remember there. So I remember we were driving down that street. For some reason, we turned off the main street and went down that street. And we did a U-turn down at the end of it by the school and then came back. And as we were getting back to the main street, as I said, there's a church on the corner. So I looked up, and by the way, this church, it's like really old style. It probably is a really old church anyways. And it's like all the stained glass windows. I'm sure a lot of churches have those, but some modern ones don't have as much of it. So this is a really old one. It's like made out of like stone or brick or whatever. It's all that old looking vibe of a church. And it's 11 o'clock at night, probably in the middle of the week, because we used to go to the beach like any day of the week. And I think we usually went in the week, like on a weekday for some reason, sometimes on weekends, but like 11 o'clock at night, nobody is at the church. Like nobody's usually there in the day unless they're there for like the church service at 10 or 11 in the morning, you know, like it's weird because nobody's usually there for most of the day in the first place, not just that church, but like any church, right? So we're driving by it at 11 o'clock at night, and I look out my window and I see this guy standing in the church. Now the church is elevated, so it's higher than the car. So I see this guy looking out and like down, and I don't know if he saw the car because we were like the only car in the area, but he was just looking out, and the creepy part of it was I did not see his face. Like he wasn't that far away, but I just didn't see his face. And inside the church, it was completely dark. Like, I don't know. It was just creepy. And he was wearing like something, what's it called? Like what the minister wears. I don't know what they call that. And that thing they hold, I'm not really sure what they call that, but it's like, I don't know. It's not a stick that they hold, but it's like, I don't know. It almost looks like a walking stick. Sorry. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I think I know the name of it, but I just don't know what it is like off the top of my head. Whenever I'm trying to like think of something, I can never think of it. And it's just like that always happens. But basically it's this church minister guy who I think is a church minister or someone just broke into the church. I have no clue because it's like 11. Who would be there at 11 at night? Like that's just weird because you wouldn't think anybody would be there. Or if they were, why would they be standing in the window motionless? And I can't see their face. They're just looking out the window. And I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on here? Like, this is crazy. So I just remember how scared we were because me and my friend and my parents, we all saw this. It wasn't just me looking out my window thinking I saw someone. We all saw it. Like, we all saw it. And it was just crazy. And I remember we drove home, like, really didn't think about it that much after that. But for like the past few years I've been thinking like, is this a ghost that I saw? Because Stratford is pretty haunted. There's a lot of ghost stories there. It's got a really big history. So I'm thinking maybe this was a church minister who just wanted to come back and, you know, hang out at the church. I don't know. It's just creepy. I find churches and schools in general at night are creepy. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I think a lot of people do, but that was just crazy. I just remember I saw them looking out the window, motionless, couldn't see a face. They're wearing this church minister uniform at like 11 o'clock at night. They're not moving. The background behind them is completely pitch black. Nobody's at the church. Nobody in the church parking lot. It's just crazy. I don't know what to think of it, but someday when I go back to Stratford, because we usually don't go that way to the beach. I don't know why we did that time, but someday when I go back there, like on my way to the beach, when I come home that way, I'm definitely going to go check out the church. Just like drive by it and see if I see someone looking out. And like, I don't think it would have been a statue because they never really put statues in a church window. And it just looked so real. It's like a real person. But at the same time, I'm thinking maybe it was a ghost. Like it just looked so real. It's really creepy. I don't know what to think of it, but I thought I would call it in because that is really creepy. And I just thought people might want to hear it. And I know this is a really supportive community of people that all believe in what we're saying here. So I just wanted to let you know and maybe think that you guys could like see what it is based on what I said. I don't really know what else to say though, but I just want to say thanks for doing what you guys do. I love this show. It's really fun to listen to. I love the show so much and I hope I hear this on it sometime. Anyways, guys, have a good one. Keep doing what you do. You guys are amazing. I love your show. You're the best paranormal show out there. Thank you so much. Have a good one, guys. Good night.
Okay, now that's the bar you have to live up to now with your advice. Go.
You know, I think that if you're going past a church at 11 o'clock at night and you see something spooky in the window, it's probably something spooky.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot that goes on at churches that late at night unless you are going to a midnight mass.
True.
And I doubt it was one of those.
I've never done that.
And it's probably, you know, if this was the only being in the building, then, you know, it's probably just an old pastor or minister or mm-hmm. priest, or I'm not sure what it was, you know, that used to be there.
Yeah.
So
what is the what's the deal with, that sounds like such a 90s term, like, what's the deal? It's Seinfeld, isn't it? Like, kind of what they would talk about.
Yeah.
But what is, I grew up Lutheran, but my dad was Catholic, so I got a little bit of each, or seeing a little bit of each kind of growing up. But I know Catholics had midnight mass. I know they have it on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Is midnight mass, does that go on outside of, I know you didn't grow up Catholic or anything like that, but
you were asking the wrong girl.
I'm asking the wrong girl. I just didn't know if you had knowledge of that at all.
No.
Okay. But midnight, like, what is the, maybe a listener can, I mean, I'm sure I could just Wikipedia this, but what is the purpose of having mass at midnight? It just seems like an odd time to ask a lot of people to show up to church when you could do it at, you know, is there some religious significance to it? Or
I mean,
that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, it's midnight mass.
Well, I know, but I'm just wondering. Well, I mean, I know they picked midnight other than just rhyming words together or having words that start with M. Is there something more to it? Because I know other religions don't typically, or versions of Christianity don't necessarily have the midnight mass thing. And I know the Christmas one because it's like the beginning of Christmas Day. I get that. But other than that, do they have midnight mass like in other times of the year, or is it just, I don't know. It strikes me as an odd time.
So let's just stop right here and just say Tony is uneducated on this topic. And
yeah.
If you could fill us in, that would be great.
Because I'm going to keep asking the same questions for the next 5 minutes.
Digging a hole and you're going to say something wrong and you just better quit. So
I'm not trying to say anything wrong. I'm just trying to learn what it's about.
You're going
to
do it. So stop.
Okay. Anyway, that'd be interesting. I always thought it would be interesting, though, to go on Christmas to the late one. But by that point, I'm already super tired. So, and I've never been to a midnight mass.
Okay.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep us on the air and get all of the bonus content. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.